Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Jay, and this is the Rewatch Podcast. I watch movies all the time. Then I like to rewatch them, and sometimes I'll even watch them again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad or just downright terrible. I'm going to watch them and then tell you all about them. And sometimes I'll have special guests join me. This is the Rewatch Podcast. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jay Thomas, and this week we're finally going to talk about a movie I've wanted to talk about for a while because I have a very differing opinion than a lot of people on the Neverending Story.
What is the secret of this enchanted book? What wonders are hidden within its pages? What magical spell does it cast on all who read it? What is the secret of the Neverending Story?
But that's impossible!
You will enter a world where a young boy's imagination becomes a vivid reality. The world of Atreyu and Artax, the Rockbiter, and a good and kind gnome. A world that is vast and eternal, treacherous and dazzling, unforgettable and free. For anyone who's ever made a wish, believed in a fantasy, or had a dream, this is the Neverending Story.
And I brought Chris Schlichting back on.
Hello!
I know you like it. I know you're a big fan.
Yes, we were waiting for the Neverending Story to end before we could do the podcast. See what I did there, Jay?
I like it. I like it. Yeah, so I'll just get right into it. I always joke around when somebody posts about the horse and the...
No! Jay, before we start this podcast, I promised my therapist we could talk about the Neverending Story, but we cannot talk about a certain scene, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. I will just say, whenever somebody posts about that scene that people in our age group have considered very traumatic since we were children, I always make fun of that because I don't care about that whatsoever. It was not traumatizing to me. And but that's not all. I don't like the Neverending Story. I should.
Well, that's
definitely shocking in my wheelhouse.
That is shocking to me. Well, my goal by the end of this podcast is to make you sort of flip that opinion. I will say two real quick things. We'll talk about it more. But first off, I don't even like horses. I don't like them. I think they bite, and I had a bad experience at camp. One nipped me on the butt, and I've never been a fan of horses. But that scene still traumatizes me. And then two, you can tell, and I think you know this, but you can tell if I'm not in a good place or if I'm having a bad time when I change my Facebook profile to the horse drowning. So
yep, it usually involves the Chiefs. From what I remember, anytime that posts up, it's usually the Chiefs have lost.
Yep, pretty accurate.
So the Neverending Story, yeah, I mean, it's a story about this kid that doesn't... You know, he doesn't have a great relationship with his dad. His mother passed away, and he loves to read, and he gets picked on by everybody, basically. The dad in the very beginning, who is Major Dad. I never watched the show, but anytime I see him, I'm like, it's Major Dad.
Yeah, he definitely stands out, and he's just, I mean, he's establishing right away that he's maybe not the best father, I guess.
But is it because of the line that goes, stop daydreaming and start facing your problems?
Stop daydreaming. Start facing your problems, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think we've had a nice talk. We should have more.
Yeah, and also, like, he has an issue with the kid who's doodling unicorns on his math notebook. First off, the kid is what, 3? he's young. First off, Jay, as an educator, I wish that was my only problem in a classroom for the kids. I wish that's the only thing that, hey, he draws a lot of unicorns. It's not. That's not an issue, man.
He likes the fantasy world, and he daydreams a lot, and he likes to read books, and he likes that stuff like that. And he gets bullied. These really horrible piece of bullies chase him in an alley and throw him in a dumpster.
Yeah, it's a crime. It's a crime.
It is. Yeah. Like, one of them's got him in a chokehold.
Yeah. And I mean, it's your stereotypical 80s. This is an 80s movie, right? 89?
84.
84. Where?
This is an early 80s movie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's stereotypical bullies, which was a common theme. I'm thinking Monster Squad. I'm thinking...
Oh, like everything.
Yeah, and just awful, awful bullies. Yes.
So, like, when you were a kid, did you really like this movie? Like, do you remember, like, watching it a lot?
So, I can kind of relate to what you said. I do remember watching it a lot, but I also remember watching it at an early age where I couldn't kind of comprehend the overall message, some of the plot points, but it still had an impact on me because it was visually, I thought, pretty cool, and the characters were neat. It's another one of these children's movies that is pretty intense, like the horse scene, like that. It wasn't the nothing; it was the wolf, Gamora or something.
I can't remember what. Yeah, the wolf is scary. I will say that. Actually,
scary. I would even say the Luck Dragon's first appearance. I mean, he's the most beloved character of all time, Jay. But like, he's definitely a little much. The Rock Biter. There's some weird visuals, kind of similar to Labyrinth. That weird thing of
that's the realm that we're definitely in is like Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, Neverending Story. Labyrinth, I think I like the best out of all of them. Like Dark Crystal and Neverending Story are two movies that I always wanted to like, and I feel like I should like them, and I've tried over and over again through the years, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, you know what? I've never seen Dark Crystal straight through. Like, I kind of get the premise of it. There's a character, Fizzgig, I think, the dog thing I love. I will, anytime I'm in a bad mood, I'll YouTube this Fizzgig clip where he, like, you know what I'm talking about. I just, yeah. Oh, no, Fizzgig, you say, I love that one, but I've never seen Dark Crystal. But when you said you don't like this movie, was that always the case, Jay?
Yeah, I always was bored with it. And I never really I think I wanted Bastion to be the hero because we follow him in the beginning. And he really isn't. Like, he's just
kind of is.
He is. Like, he is.
Is it really me?
For the most part, it's Atreyu, which I like Atreyu. He's cool. He's like the hero in Fantasia in the story.
Yeah.
But like, I think I've seen the second movie more. Like, it was on HBO a lot when I was growing up. And I remember, so, and Bastion's in Fantasia most of the time. And like, he's actually,
is he in the second one? Is the character?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. From a little bit of research, Jay, I just know this is based off a book.
Yes.
And the author of the book hates the movies.
100%. Tried to sue them to make it stop.
And we got some pretty different scenarios going on, almost like a Shining scenario, but like, they're different. And yeah, I think the director and the new writer took some liberties with it, and he just does not like it.
No, he got real mad real quick.
Yeah.
He might be like the guy in the bookstore, Carmander or something like that.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Can we talk about that business model of that bookstore? Like,
it's so good.
He just, well, first off, the kid takes shelter from the bullies.
Yes, he's trying to hide
in a bookstore. Which, two things: the kid loves books. He's never heard of this. He's never been to this bookstore. He's never heard of this bookstore. No, that's a little thing. Yeah, but also just the creepiest, stereotypical, just like the bullies bookstore. And yeah, he stumbles across the owner of the bookstore is reading a pretty interesting book.
What was it? I don't remember. Oh, was it with Neverending Story?
No, I think it was Where's Waldo? And he's just reading. He can't find him. He was reading the Neverending Story, and the kid was curious. He's like, "What book are you reading?" He's like, and then the guy's really selling it hard. Oh, this book? You won't like this.
You wouldn't like this.
It don't have pictures, you stupid kid. Get out of my store. Yeah,
kids play video games. You're looking for the arcade. Like, it's instantly just being the worst person to him. But then when Bastion's like proving it and saying all these books he's read, he's like, "Oh, hey, you're fine. Yeah, you can stay."
Also, can we talk about Bastion's day so far? His dad chews him out.
Yeah,
he gets thrown in a dumpster twice, and then he gets chewed out by a guy, maybe a possible friend, because they both like books. No, he doesn't. This guy is
all before school.
Yes, yeah. This is before eight
in the morning.
His waffle hasn't even digested yet.
This poor kid. He's probably still. You know, his mom probably just died like not that long before this.
Yes. Yes,
and he's got to deal with all this crap.
And yeah, Jay, if the worst problem this kid has is drawing a couple unicorns or like looking up daydreaming, man, let him. He's doing pretty well.
It's his therapy. It's fine. And then the bookstore guy pretty much gaslights him into stealing the Neverending Story.
Bastion now has turned to crime.
Yes.
He leaves a note. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm going to get this right.
I'll bring it back."
Which I'd like to see that deleted scene.
Yeah. we'll get to the ending. It's eventually.
Okay.
The thing that I thought was so funny is Bastion runs to school then, and he's got the giant book under his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's carrying a giant bag that could definitely hold the Neverending Story book.
Yeah,
he's a visual of him. It was like, well, we need to visually see that he's stolen this thing.
He's running late. We've all been there. You're running late. I've gone to school one time and realized I didn't have a shoe on. You know, it happens. Cut the kids some slack, all right? So he's going to go to class. There's a math test. He don't want to do it. He's already struggling in school.
Yeah, they say in the very beginning, he's terrible at math.
Yes. So he decides to not go home, not maybe go back to the bookstore. I don't know, but like he finds a secret room in an attic.
It's the coolest looking attic and scary at the same time.
Yes. I'm a sucker for a good attic scene. I immediately got Goonies vibes, you know, all the stuff.
It definitely looked like Goonies.
The storm. I think it started to storm.
That ties to the book as well.
Yeah, he's going to have him. He's just going to we skip in school and he's just going to not smoke in the boys' room or not go to the arcade. He's going to just go up in the attic, this creepy attic, and read the Neverending Story.
That's his big plan for the day. One thing I will say, and this is when we start to get into the story and you start seeing Fantasia, and I love the design of things. I think the creatures are really cool. I love the puppeteering.
Yes.
Falcor, the Luck Dragon, is one of the most iconic creatures of 80s movies. I will say the puppeteering on him must have been just incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
The mouth never really quite makes it with the dialogue at all, which I think is funny because I'm so used to Chucky and how they like do it now where they match it up perfectly. And it's not even close. He's saying like 5 or 10 words before his mouth even goes up and down once.
Not to nitpick, but I always thought the Luck Dragon looked like the most comfortable, like coolest thing ever. But I did notice today while watching some of them talk, I feel like the one cool feature that made it stand out as a puppet, like these guys discovered how to make it wink.
Oh, yeah. So
when it's first talking to Atreyu, it must wink 9 times. Like
he winks a lot. Yeah.
Almost uncomfortable amount.
It's real flirty at times. Yeah.
Yeah. He almost went from a luck dragon to a dragon.
Here?
Yes, he did. One of the first big creatures that we meet is Rockbiter, which you mentioned earlier.
Love him.
And love the voice. Love this big mountain creature. The puppeteering on him is awesome. He's there with he's just hanging out with a troll looking guy.
Yep.
And then Deep Roy, who's the little person who's in
Willy Wonka, right?
Yeah, Willy Wonka. He plays the Oompa Loompas in the Tim Burton version. And then he's also in a lot of Tim Burton stuff, actually. I think most
Deep Roy is a pretty I've heard that name and I'm familiar with that guy's face, but he's a pretty renowned actor. I think he's kind of legendary.
He's been in stuff forever.
What a name.
I know. Great.
Deep Roy. Holy cow.
And then
Jay, real quick, interesting fact, the guy that voiced did you see this? The guy that voiced Falcor, the Rockbiter, same guy. And he did Wolf. He did all three of those guys.
Yeah. And you want to know something else about him?
He-Man? Was he a He-Man guy?
He was not, but his name is Alan Oppenheimer. Ooh. He's the third cousin of the Oppenheimer who made the nuclear bomb or the atomic bomb.
Yikes. You just dropped a bomb on me.
Yeah, I did.
Just go back. So he's reading the book and it's fascinating. We're introduced to this Fantasia world. Something's happening, right?
There's like evil like storm clouds and stuff. And it's called the Nothing. And it's destroying everything in Fantasia.
Yes. And so there's a young emperor or young princess or queen. And she has the ability to possibly... This is why I got a little confused, Jay. So maybe you can help. She has the ability to help, but she's sick. So they need to go find the cure for to help the emperor. Is that kind of in the ballpark?
Yeah, the childlike empress.
Yeah, so they're having this meeting. All these different creatures are there. Fantasia's got a crazy place. There's Easter eggs in there, too. Like Ewoks are in there and stuff. Yeah, Gumby's in there.
ET's there. There's a bunch of craziness.
Kind of neat. Like ahead of its time. Like you don't see that really in old
It's funny that the guy that comes out to talk to everybody in Fantasia, I thought was Jeffrey the butler from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It is not, but I thought for sure it was. I thought it sounded like him.
Wow.
And I thought it looked like him, but with makeup on
yeah,
to make him look different. But then I looked it up and was like, oh, I guess that's not him. Well, that
that's made crazy because I'll never look at him in the same way again.
I know.
That's funny. So this is why we meet a Atreyu.
Jeez, not man. His voice either. His voice was dubbed over.
It was his voice was dubbed over.
Oh, almost everybody's was. Yeah.
Okay, you can tell with us when we meet the Deep Roy, the snail guy. You can tell. Yeah. That's interesting. But so everyone's shocked because the only person brave enough to come forward is this young kid,
Atreyu.
Yeah.
Who's killed a purple buffalo or something like that?
Yeah, this would be a nightmare. Like if I just have bad dreams of like me being, you know me, Jay. I'm the most popular kid in like second grade. You know,
yes.
I'm funny. Everyone loves me. We get a new kid and it's Atreyu. I'm like, damn it. Like,
yeah, you're done. Game over. The only hope that the Fantasia has is this warrior of the land, Atreyu. And then he comes through and it's like, it's a kid. And even Bastion reading, it's like, a boy? Like, what?
Yeah, Bastion's losing his mind.
In my notes, I have, he's a boy and it freaks everyone out. He must go alone and leave his weapons behind.
Yep, that was a weird stipulation. But yeah, leave his weapons. He could bring his horse. And he is looking for a cure.
Yes. Okay. And then within 6 minutes is the total amount of time that you meet Atrax, the horse.
Yes.
And they have to go through the swamp of sadness.
Sharing some food.
And you can't let the sadness overtake you. And that's when it's finally hitting me as an adult. Like, oh, I get what this movie's about.
I get the overarching theme, but Jay, you bringing that point up, I'm like, oh,
you can't let the, and then the horse slowly lets the sadness in and gets a tar bath. And
yeah, before we do that, I just want to briefly bring up before we dive into this, it's gonna be a nightmare, but isn't there a part where Atrax and Atreyu are eating food by a tree and Bastion is eating a sandwich up in the
yeah
attic?
He pulls a big sandwich out of his bag. Yeah,
but just like in the book, Atreyu, these names are, man, not flowing off the tongue, the horse, like, no, we gotta share, we gotta save some, we got a long journey. I just love Bastion's like, that's something I would do, Jay. I'm like, yeah. No. We must like not
yeah,
do this.
You gotta stop and take it. It's fine.
He takes one bite. He's like, I gotta save the food. So he's on this journey. That's a book, man.
He's with him. Yeah. Book. I know you don't want to talk about this scene too much, but I would say one of the reasons I don't understand why everybody is so crazy about this scene and why they're so attached to this horse. We've known it for 6 minutes. That's it. There's like no, there's nothing. You know nothing about this horse or Atreyu at this point. We just met them.
Hey, Jay, I don't want to like, I don't know how much you know about like horses or just animals in general. I don't know what you want out of your character animals. Like, what do you want this horse to do, Jay? It's a horse, by the way.
I just want to spend more time with him. I just want to be around him. I just want him and Atreyu to be friends for a while before, you know, they let him drown in a tar pit.
Jay, if I'm walking down the street and I see a squirrel get hit by a car, I feel bad for that squirrel. I haven't met that squirrel. I don't know anything about his personality, but come on, Jay, cut him some slack.
The scene took 3 weeks to film.
Yeah, I heard. There was always the urban legend that the horse actually did die, too.
A lot of them have said that's not true. They had three horses.
Yeah, I think that's been debunked. That'd be an awful black eye for that movie.
I won't get any further.
Well, this is a kid's movie, by the way. In case you've never seen this and aren't paying attention, the horse sinks and dies.
Come on! Attack! Fight against the sadness, Artex! Artex, please! You're letting the sadness of the swamps get to you.
So at this point, Atrax is dead, and he let the sadness take over, and the tar.
You know what? I think I've learned to deal with this a little bit better because, you know what? Not to get too far along, Jay, but in the end, the horse does come back, correct? Like,
yes.
He doesn't technically die, or does he die? And I think that's how I've sort of dealt with it, that you do see the horse again.
Yeah, he comes back. He's fine.
Yeah, so did he die, or is he reborn?
He was probably in horse limbo. I don't know how that exactly works. Kind of like voodoo in child's play movies.
Yeah, that's how I've That's what me and my therapist discussed, that, you know, he never did die. And that's what we found has helped me deal with it a lot better. You do see him again and he seems fine. He's maybe, yeah, he's maybe a different color and maybe not the same DNA structure of the rebirth, but,
and he's actually a frog.
Yeah. close enough.
So you'd think at this point, Atreyu has to keep going, but like, he just watched his best friend and horse die a horrible death.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think right now, like, the sadness would take over, but not our guy, Atreyu. Nope. He's a real man. He shoves it down deep.
Yeah, and I think we understand that he's sad because that was his friend. But I'd also be sad because now I got to walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh, God.
That's like, so I've never far. Done that, but it just seems so tiring.
Damn you, Jay. You would have been struggling in that swamp, man.
Oh, it would have been. I would have just given up immediately. I would have been at the palace, and I'm like, I'm not going.
I would have been like, if me and you were in this adventure together, I would have been begging for a sidewalk someplace. Like, I'm like, oh, Jay, we
get to the swamp. You're like, f*** it, man. Sorry, you're gonna have to go by yourself. I quit.
Jay, I'll be back. You stay here under this mountain, which isn't a mountain. You see that segue, Jay?
It worked out perfectly.
Save.
Atreyu makes it to what looks like a little mountain, but it is actually a giant turtle that looks a lot like E.T.
Yes. So this huge turtle is one of the oracles, I believe. And
Morla or something like that?
Yeah. So Atreyu is going to get some answers from this turtle, but this turtle turns out to be a little bit insane because he talks to himself. He's
only talking been around people. Himself forever.
Yeah, that was kind of clever, but it's like, dude, just relax.
And I think he's everybody right now, and he did not care about what was going on. He's like, no, I don't want any part of this. Like, I don't care about the world ending. It's fine.
Did you know that the Empress is very ill?
Not that it matters. But yes, actually, we don't care.
Clearly a depressed turtle, and also a sick turtle. There were some sneezes that...
Yeah, he had allergies or something.
Yeah, and poor Atreyu is getting just destroyed by these sneezes, which happened maybe two or three times and just blown off the tree. And
actually, this is one of those scenes. This is the first time that there was like a fourth wall break, I think, that the characters all noticed it.
Yes. Yeah, so for some reason, Bastion, who is reading the book in the attic of the school, who has already seen some pretty scary, disturbing stuff, the horse died, but for some reason, the appearance of the most friendliest looking E.T. turtle scared him to the point of screaming out loud.
Yes.
Is it a fourth wall? Because it's still happening in the movie. So it's like a fifth wall or a three and a half
it's wall. It's a wall of some sort that I don't understand. And they're not going to explain it. That's what I've learned watching this movie. They're not going to let you know what's going on. But they all hear it. And they're all like, the hell is that?
And what's crazy about it is Bastion must read that in the book.
Yeah, it's so weird.
He can't comprehend, like, no way.
That's like his reaction to pretty much everything.
Yes.
As he keeps reading it. And this is the part that I thought was kind of funny too. School gets over, school ends,
mm-hmm.
and Bastion could go home, and he's packing up. There's a big storm coming. And then he stops for a second, like, no, Atreyu wouldn't quit. Goes right back to his spot, gets locked in the school. He's like, that's fine. I've got a good book.
Yeah, dude, I think I would read more books if they impacted me in the same way that they impacted Bastion. Like,
nothing has ever gotten my attention like Bastion with this book.
Yeah, man. I mean, maybe a couple of Choose Your Own Adventures back in the day. I Those felt sort of involved. I guess in a way it is weird, though, because the book is making sly references to him. I don't know why he just maybe doesn't leave. I don't know why he stays at school. I guess his home life isn't the best.
The dad clearly hates him.
Yeah, Major Dad is a major pain in Bastion's ass. And
every time.
I just think it's so funny that, like, yeah, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, but he is reading a book at school.
Yeah.
Like, what would be his punishment? I just think it's not that bad. He's not, like, smoking really in isn't. The bathroom or fighting. Like, I wish, as a teacher, Jay, I wish I dealt with kids that were snuck away, like, under the stairs reading a
Drawing
book.
Drawing unicorn pictures, reading a book.
Yeah.
Lord. That's what you want. It's an ideal student.
I'd have a tear of joy. This kid, he just likes books, man.
Well, back in the book, we find Atreyu still in the swamp. It's starting to kind of take over, though. He's starting to, like, almost give up. and that evil wolf is coming after him.
Yes.
And then, like, out of nowhere, he's like all of a sudden there. And then Falcor comes down and saves Atreyu.
I would argue one of the more, one of my favorite characters from childhood movies, just this lovable dragon, a luck dragon, kind of looks like a dog. He's furry, but just, I don't know what it is, Jay. The voice, the face, the combination of everything, but just so lovable. Falcor saves the day because, like you said, the swamp was getting the best of him. But Falcor swoops in, takes him out of there, and now they're kind of in a new environment. This is where they're really, ironically, pretty close to the next Oracle, right?
Yeah, well, they're getting there, and first they, Atreyu's kind of upset because it's, you know, this has become so hard, and he's like all alone, and he's like, oh no, you have friends in that cave. And he looks in, and there's these two little old people, this old married couple. It's like a wizard or scientist,
yep,
and his wife, which it reminded me so much of Miracle Max and his wife from The Princess Bride.
It was like the same thing. I often get those characters confused to the point of where, when you brought it up, I was going to bring it up, but I'm like, I didn't know if that was Princess Bride or this one, but it's both, right?
It's pretty much the same thing, which it's, I believe Princess Bride came out after this, so they got some explaining to do.
Oh, Princess Bride.
The old man shows him this, shows Atreyu this like telescope, and he sees these big giant statues. With even bigger boobs,
big, real big statues.
It's crazy. And he has to go through it. He has to go to test like how pure of a person he is. And there's a knight, like a knight of the round table, kind of, that goes through or tries to go through, and laser beams shoot out of their eyes and just kills him immediately.
Yes, he was not pure of heart or something, correct?
No. And so we know our boy Atreyu is going to do it. He's going to go through. He's like the purest person in the world.
But
so we think
the statues come alive, which indicates that the lasers are coming, which means also, therefore, Atreyu's not pure of heart. But
I guess
you know how to get out. You know, the way around this, Jay, is to run, is to sprint.
Run as fast as you can.
Sprint once briefly again, and dive.
The next thing that Atreyu has to come against is himself. He has to see himself in this like very snowy, icy area. But before he can see his reflection, he sees Bastion. And Bastion again is like, what?
What? Yeah, no. It's definitely breaking that one of the walls again.
Uh-huh.
And I think Bastion is starting to probably put the pieces together that there is something more to this. And he might kind of even be involved somehow. Is this where he meets, what's the wolf's name again?
Well, he gets to the other Oracle statue, the Southern Oracle. Again, same booby statue formation. And they tell him that the Empress needs a new name. But no one from Fantasia can give the Empress a name. It must come from a human child. Atreyu's like, all right, we got to find a human child. So he gets on Falcor, and they start flying super fast because the nothing is coming after them.
Yeah, and there's some danger. Turbulence. There's some turbulence, correct? And he actually falls off Falcor into the water, I believe.
Yeah, he falls off, and he also loses his necklace.
Can you remind me the importance of necklace again?
It's like the weapon from the Empress. Like, I don't know if he can use it, but I think it's a protector, maybe. But it also is like, I feel like it's a name tag. It's like, oh, you're the Empress's person. Okay, well, I'm going to fight you.
And you were saying, not to get into too much detail, but in the second movie, it's utilized a lot more, correct?
Yes, in the second movie, Bastion uses it the whole time, and he can make wishes. And
Wait. Are you telling me that Atreyu had a necklace on him, on person, the entire time that could grant wishes?
Yes.
Jay, are you? Mm-hmm. This is like, what is that? Lord of the Rings, when those birds pick up the hobbits.
The first thing I thought. They could have had a ride the entire damn time.
Falcor,
9 hours of film.
Oh, I don't know. Wish for your horse back. Come on.
Yeah, maybe,
man,
that's a good idea. Yeah. Let's do that. When he gets thrown off, he happens to bump into Rockbiter again.
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you, we were saying earlier how great the puppeteering was on him. And the voice is great. This scene is Oscar caliber. I swear to God. His performance is amazing. Yes.
It is a moving monologue, which would have been the clip they played when they show nominated Rockbiter. And he goes by his acting name is Rockbiter, by the way.
That'd be great. I would love it. He says that all of his friends that he had, like the troll and the snail and all that stuff, he had them in his hands and then nothing took them away. And he lost his friends.
They look like big, good, strong hands, don't they? I always thought that's what they were. Oh, my little friends. The little man with his racing snail. The night hawk. Even the stupid bat. I couldn't hold on to them. The nothing pulled them right out of my hands. I failed.
And he looks so sad and he sounds so devastated. And I was, the thing that stopped me from maybe tearing up during that scene is I got thinking, I'm like, why are you still here then?
Yes. Here's my theory on that, Jay.
I don't get it.
I love the way you think. And here's my theory that I just came up with right now.
Okay.
The nothing is so diabolical. It could have took the Rockbiter, but instead wanted to destroy his heart and made him feel bad.
I think this scene is way sadder than a stupid horse dying.
Yes. I agree. Because he did. Essentially, he lost the snail guy and the bat person, right?
And Deep Roy. He lost Deep Roy.
Deep Roy.
Oh, man. Deep Roy's the best. So Atreyu's in this little rock area. It almost looks like maybe it used to be an old castle or something. And he sees images on the walls that are of the story that we've seen. Like, we've seen all this. He's like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And he gets to a big picture of the wolf, but it's not a picture. It's the actual wolf. It's still scary.
Yes. And that was, I remember that part like affecting me because it was pretty intense, but not intense enough for Bastion to yell out loud, of course, because it's not a turtle. But this is a classic part where like a movie reveals the plot or the dialogue.
Everything.
Right?
This is like the most exposition everything. Dump ever.
Yes. So the wolf gives the exposition of the plot of the movie, but he doesn't know what Atreyu looks like, correct?
No, and he doesn't have the necklace, so he has no idea that he's supposed to bite his face off.
But then Atreyu's like, how does the reveal happen? How does he figure it out?
Well, first the wolf is, he's telling him everything that's going on, and he tells Atreyu how Fantasia is just a fantasy for humans,
yes,
and that nothing can leave their world, and Fantasia's dying because people are losing hope. This is the most depressing movie of all time.
It's adulthood.
It is. It is for sure. 100%. And then the wolf, I think, must figures it out, and he attacks Atreyu.
Jay, we're gonna get an epic battle.
It's like, gonna be. We've been waiting for this.
Probably the entire movie. The rest of the movie is gonna be a battle between this wolf and Atreyu. Correct.
We've just been salivating for this battle. It's gonna be as long as the baseball scene in Sleepaway Camp. It's gonna be amazing. But. We forget, though, that Atreyu, though a boy, is the greatest warrior in the world. Mm-hmm. And kills the wolf immediately.
Yes. Is able to pick up a shard of rock, which is shaped exactly like Michael Myers' butcher knife. And
Rockbiter's like, that's my lunch.
Jumps on him. He's ready. All the weight of Wolfman. Look that up. What is his name? Like, he had like a weird name, like Mortar or Mikey.
He's
or
name. Hold
Jim?
On,
was
look.
It Jim? Jim the Wolf? Come and get me, Jim!
Gamork.
Yeah, it was Gamork.
His
something.
Name's Gamork.
I was in the ballpark. Jim.
I don't think they were really good trying when they named him.
Yeah, Gamork. I think a guy just took a big sip of soda and went, Gamork! And they're like, what'd
That's
you say?
That's exactly what it sounds like. That's ridiculous. But yeah, I was really bummed. I'm like, that's it? He just killed him right away.
I'm like, dude, I was scared of that thing forever growing up. And it's just like, oh man, Atreyu, maybe is he the greatest warrior of all time or the luckiest warrior?
I think he's really like Frank Drebin from Naked Gun. He just stumbles into winning all the time.
Like, who was Inspector Gadget used to always solve crimes too accidentally.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But, you know, we can't be happy for too long in this movie because all of a sudden the Nothing shows up and destroys Fantasia. The Nothing is basically winning.
Yes. So, yeah, we're left with exactly that. Nothing. But doesn't the Luck Dragon pick him up again? Falcor comes and gets him.
Yep, Falcor gets him and they're just like strolling along, which, again, I don't know what the Nothing's plan is or how it works, because I guess they get to live and there's just like parts of Fantasia floating around.
Is this the one do they have to go look for a six-fingered man? Is this the one that the Atreyu's dad was murdered
that
by?
That is the Princess Bride.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yep,
they do find the castle is still intact. There's nothing.
It is, yeah, the ivory tower still there, and they go in and Falcor meets the Empress, who does look like a little child. He's upset because he's like, I failed you. Fantasia destroyed. Everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, you didn't fail.
No. Nah.
Because you brought the Earthling child. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? You're crazy. There's no Earthling child with me.
Jay, what was the transition? Was the tag made? How does Bastion suddenly get in the world?
Well, here we go. The last 15 minutes of this movie is ridiculous. So the Empress says, you know, the Earth Child's there. Bastion's like, what? Me? And Bastion has to name the child like Empress. And so and she's calling out to him. So he's like, I can't do it.
Why don't you do what you dream, Bastion?
But I can't. I have to keep my feet on the ground.
Call my name.
Bastion. Please.
So he runs to the window. It goes flying open because of this giant storm, which might be the Nothing in the real world. I have no idea. It could just be a storm.
That's a good call.
And he screams a name. Screams out his mother's name, which is Moonchild.
Which can't be Moonchild, Jay.
It's Moonchild, Chris. I'm sorry.
Jay, but like, how does a guy like Bastion's dad marry a woman named Moonchild?
Well, he's Major Dad. He can do whatever he wants.
I had to look it up. I did a little bit of research too. And I thought Moonchild, there is a reference to Bastion talking about his mom's name being the most beautiful name ever.
Yeah, he's got the most beautiful name ever. Because he's thinking about it. When he finds out that she needs a new name, I think he's thinking about like his mom's name, but he doesn't think he can make a difference.
I would argue that beautiful is not the correct term for that name.
No, I wouldn't either.
Dude, this is like that Ex Machina where it's just like they need a way to fix a problem. And they're like, I don't know, name me. And
they're like, it's like they're just looking out the room. It must have been night when they were writing it and a kid walked in or something.
Dude, clearly, Jay, the writers are either running out of time, money, or motivation because they are trying to wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah, and again, it's no wonder that the original writer of the book was like, no, you guys, what are you doing to my story? What are you doing?
He has gone on record. He wants nothing to do with this.
No, not at all.
I believe he took him to court and
it was bad.
Yeah.
Well, once Moonchild has the new name, she shows up in the real world and she tells Bastion.
Whoa. Do you think she was disappointed for A, being in that creepy attic, and B, Moonchild?
Yeah, that's what you came up with. You could have picked anything.
Hi, I guess I'm Moonchild.
She shows up, tells Bastion that Fantasia can survive in his hopes and his dreams, which is the one thing his dad forbid him to have.
Yes.
And then she gives him a piece of sand. He sticks his hand out. She just drops some sand in it. I'm like, thanks. What's this for? Turns out it's like a piece of Fantasia or something. I don't know. I don't think the writers did either. First big thing that he wants to do is ride Falcor, which who doesn't?
Yes. So he's allowed to do anything he wants with the grain of sand. Or kind of like, and he decides, I guess his first order of business is he wants to like ride Falco and kind of rebuild Fantasia, correct?
Yeah, he goes through Fantasia. We get to see Atrax the horse again, and Atreyu yes! riding him.
Atrax is back, looks better than ever.
Atreyu knows who Bastion is. He waves at him like, hey, Bastion. And he goes through, sees Rockbiter, sees everything that we've ever seen. Bastion is going through Fantasia. But I need to say this real quick here.
Yes.
So Bastion's life sucks because he's bullied, mm-hmm. and mainly because his mother, Moonchild, is dead. She's not alive anymore. And Bastion is given the option to pick anything he wants in the world, a wish, and he chooses to ride a dragon instead of bring his mom back to life.
We could chalk that up to maybe youth. He also, while he's experiencing all of his dreams come true, he also has a little bit of a taste, a thirst for vengeance.
Yeah, so not only does he not bring his mom back to life with the first wish, the second wish is then to keep riding Falcor in the real world and chase and scare the shit out of the bullies that were attacking him before. Which yeah, I love. So I love that his second thought was revenge.
Revenge. And I just love that. So the bullies end up in the dumpster this time. Ha ha. You're in the dumpster now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, I don't know, maybe a little, is it like an eye for an eye?
What I love about it is that, like, this isn't a fantasy world anymore. Like, it's real and people are seeing this. They're like ducking and running because it's a giant luck dragon. It's
yeah, like, but I think the setting's New York and you see like that all the time.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
You don't. I mean, how many crazy people ride the subway and stuff?
Well, that's like the joke.
It's not that big of a deal.
That's the joke in every movie. It's New York.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the Ninja Turtles could get away with just wearing trench coats and a fedora.
I don't know who they are. Like Clark Kent with the glasses. Yeah. But then this is my favorite. This is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. So we're doing this and it's like, great. What's going to happen next? Where are we at? This movie's only like an hour and a half long.
So many possibilities. I can't wait to see what they do next.
I can't wait to see him get home and mm-hmm. finally reconnect with his father after so long. And yes. I can't wait to see him return his book that he stole from the library or the bookstore. And
the guy, Jay, real quick, the guy's going to be like, what you think? He's like, yeah,
I've read better. Right. It's okay. But here's what actually happens, Chris. I don't know if you're prepared for this or not. I've seen this movie multiple times. I always forget this is the ending of the movie. A narrator who we've never heard before pops up and says Bastion made a bunch of wishes and returned home. But that's another story.
Bastion made many other wishes and had many other amazing adventures before he finally returned to the ordinary world. But that's another story.
And we hear the music. I mean, we haven't really talked about the Neverending Story theme song, which is the best thing about the movie. I think we can all agree on that.
Which is epic. Who's the guy? Lemuel or something?
I never remember the person's name. I'm always shocked when I see it. I'm like, oh, that's the name?
It's an epic song. And it did make a little comeback with Stranger Things.
Every time I hear this song, it gets stuck in my head. It really is the Neverending Story with that song.
Oh, for sure. I just feel like with a movie that clearly had a pretty substantial budget, you are almost obligated to show us those adventures. Show us the adventures, man. Show us at least one, maybe an animation if you need to cut some corners, but come on.
No, he like flies up into the sky and it's over. Save for another time.
Jay, I remember, this is a true story. I remember watching this movie all the time when I was younger and just being fascinated with it and then revisiting it at an older age. I rewatched it for the podcast, but the first time I rewatched it as an older age, I was like, how does it end? I kind of forget how
it ends. I never remember.
And it, you know why I can't remember how it ends? Because it ends so like,
yeah, it's the abrupting ending story. That's what this movie is. It technically it has no ending. So maybe it really is the never ending story. Oh, those b****ers, I just figured it out.
Oh no, that can't be the.
They didn't give us an ending, so it's never ending.
Let me ask you this, and I want you to think about this. Do you like this movie?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought. You didn't even think about it, though. Why are we covering this movie, though? There has to be something about it. It's.
And Jay and Chris continued to talk about the never-ending story for 3 hours until Jay finally thought of something he liked about it. But that's for another podcast.
Look at what you see.
The Rewatch Podcast is an Alpha Media production.